Hello, listeners. Welcome to the latest episode of Private Equity Talks. I'm Shivani Khandekar, a reporter at Real Deals. In this episode, we will be discussing the role and importance of patient capital in the investment landscape. And my guest today is Christine Hockley, the Managing Director of Funds at British Patient Capital. Hi, Christine. How are you doing today?
Hi, Shivani. Very good, and good to be with you today.
Good, good. I'm glad to know that you're doing well. Before we begin, can I just get a brief introduction from you in relation to your current role and the perspective you will be bringing to this podcast today?
Yes, Shivani. So Christine Hockley, Managing Director of Funds at British Patient Capital. I've been with British Business Bank for almost 10 years now and been with BPC since its inception in 2018. Always been investing in funds, mainly venture capital funds, but a few low mid-market funds along the way.
Great, thank you. Now, of course, I'm sure most of our listeners at some point have come across this term patient capital, but may not be familiar with what exactly that means. So I want to kick things off by asking you, Christine, if you can give us a brief explanation of what we mean when we say patient capital, and perhaps the role that British Patient Capital plays in funneling this.
Yes, of course. So patient capital is long-term equity investment into innovative high-growth companies. I think if we look at the UK market, it provides a really fertile ground for innovative companies to thrive, but there's a lack of access to patient capital that's holding back those companies from scaling up past early rounds of funding. And it's this lack of capital at the later rounds that's held back many companies from scaling up, and it prevents them from reaching their true commercial potential. And in 2017, the UK government did a patient capital review, and it showed that longer-term investment, it's a major barrier to holding back continued development of these innovative businesses. And so British Patient Capital was created as a response to address this issue. So British Patient Capital, BPC, it's a commercial arm of the British Business Bank, which is the UK Development Bank. And we've got assets under management now of over £3 billion sterling. Our core mandate, which is the one we were given back in 2018 when we were established, is a £2.5 billion to invest into venture and venture growth stage opportunities. So thereby providing this patient capital where the gap was established. So it's improving that access to that long-term finance and helping build the UK's innovation economy. So how do we do this? Well, we do it by investing in UK-focused venture capital funds, which in turn capture value through financing the growth of innovative businesses. And we also co-invest alongside our portfolio managers, investing directly into UK businesses within our underlying portfolio. Across the core programme, we invest between 200 and 300 million, typically into 9 to 12 funds a year. So we've also got a 200 million life sciences investment program, which invests in UK focused fund strategies that target the growth stage in life sciences. And we've also got another direct investment program investing directly into companies called Future Fund Breakthrough. And that's 425 million to invest in deep tech and life science businesses at that growth stage, which we typically call Series B plus onwards. So across those three mandates, our investments since inception totaled £1.9 billion. And we've invested in over 70 funds and we work with around 40 fund managers. So British Patient Capital is the largest domestic investor in UK venture and venture growth capital. So if we're looking at that scale-up gap that we were founded to address, that there was an independent evaluation of BPC and it showed the valuations of beneficiary companies were found on average to be 60 million higher than they would have been in the absence of BPC-backed funding. So I think that we're showing that we are making a difference to that scale-up gap in the marketplace.
Thank you for that overview, Christine. Let's talk about VC fund managers now, because British Patient Capital is the UK's largest domestic investor in venture and venture growth opportunities. And I'm sure you've been having a lot of conversations with these fund managers. So what exactly is on the minds of VCs right now, including how funds are taking longer to close and why many are sort of holding out for an IPO rebound in the next 24 months?
Yes. So, I mean, it's been a really interesting market, hasn't it? And you know, the venture market is always cyclical. And that's why we have long-term patient capital investors like British Patient Capital because it's crucial to both fund managers and companies to have that constant pool of capital there. I mean, we've seen an extreme cycle, I think, over the past few years. And the pandemic marked a really extraordinary period for the global venture capital market as appetite for innovative technology-enabled investments drove transaction values to unprecedented levels through 2020 and 21. And then as we moved into 2022, the economic environment changed. We had higher inflation, rising interest rates, and the technology boom began to falter a little, and inflation was rising. And geopolitical uncertainty was there as well. So investors became more cautious. And the non-traditional investors that had been in the market kind of exited. So there's been a lot, I think, for fund managers to kind of deal with over that period. And so what they're thinking about now, I mean, I think deal activity has now fallen back to pre-pandemic levels, and the deal pricing has eased. So there's been a downward pressure on valuations across the spectrum as well. And it's been particularly pronounced for the larger growth deals, which attracted higher valuations in those more boom times. So as you say, we've been seeing some down rounds. And as you say, the exit market is also tight with little appetite for IPOs at the moment. So I think what this has meant for fund managers is that they've been focused on their portfolio and building in some resilience to those companies. So there's been a sort of change in mindset, I think, from just focusing on growth and raising more capital for more growth all the time, to sort of building in pathways to profitability into those businesses and a more disciplined approach to cash management to make sure that the cash that they do have in the business is being funneled into the right places. So I think the plus side has been for fund managers that most businesses have entered this period well-funded and are able to make these adjustments. And there are lots of quality assets within the fund managers' portfolios that they're ensuring are well set for continuing growth and value accretion. I think also for fund managers, one of the things on their minds is there's also a considerable amount of dry powder in the market to be invested. And I think fund managers are more optimistic that there are reasonably priced and quality deals now out in the market. So I think we're seeing that with a bit of an uptick in activity. So fund managers who have funding to deploy are now searching out those quality deals. And, you know, history shows that vintages post some sort of crisis are always very strong returners. So I think there's some excitement there in the market for those with funds to deploy. The British Business Bank deploys their money quite carefully. And regarding the IPO market, I think particularly for tech companies, the market's closed and has been for a while. But fund managers are ensuring that the businesses in their portfolios that are candidates to list are really ready for when that window opens, which is difficult to predict when it might be. But I think, you know, once it is open, that we will see a sort of flurry of businesses looking to list on the markets. So fundraising, which you also mentioned for funds, it remains difficult, and the number of funds closing over the past year remains low. And this has been a recent trend where capital is being concentrated into fewer funds. I think fund managers' sentiment from the UK, from the VC financial returns report from the BBB, found a deterioration in exit opportunities and fundraising conditions over the past year. And almost two-thirds thought conditions for raising a new fund were either poor or very poor compared with last year, while 72% of managers saw availability of successful exit opportunities poor or very poor as well. So I think, you know, from that, we can see what's on fund managers' minds and what they are sort of managing within their portfolio to make sure that they're managing that to deliver returns for LPs.
That's really interesting. And that actually leads me nicely to my next question, Christine. You spoke of how VCs are reading the market at the moment. And in continuation to that, I would just love to get a sense of how the level of communication and then transparency between them and LPs like British Patient Capital is changing for the better. And to what extent do you think this is being driven by market shifts?
Yes, no, I think that's a really good question. And I think, again, if we look back to the pandemic, there was a change in communication from the pandemic. So we've always had positive communication with our fund managers in our portfolio. But I think that particular time made fund managers really quickly realise that they needed to communicate more frequently with LPs and be transparent around the challenges they were facing. You know, nothing like that had ever happened before. And obviously, we all needed to work together to understand what that meant. And what I think it did is it created a new dynamic of communication between LPs and GPs. And this realization of the importance of a higher level of communication has certainly continued into the post-pandemic world. So when we have seen the cycle turn down a bit, that communication has continued. And it's communication formally via structured calls and investor meetings, as well as the reporting cycle. And I see also from BPC's point of view, we also engage informally with our fund managers just to make sure we're really up to speed with the portfolio, particularly on valuations and how the fund manager is operating as well. I mean, I think the fundamental relationship between a GP and an LP is a long-term one. Even for one fund, it lasts 10 years and usually more than that. But at BPC, we're looking to back a manager over a number of funds. And so having that very transparent and honest relationship is really key. We don't like surprises. So we want to be kept up to speed on a timely basis so that we're building a partnership to deal with issues as they come through. So I would say that that things are becoming even better and more transparent, and I really welcome that.
And if you take all of these things into consideration, Christine, what would you say are your predictions or expectations for how venture capital is going to evolve in this new year?
Yes, Shivani, I think that's a really good question. I think that as we've talked about the cycle that has gone previously, where we had a very exuberant cycle that's come down into a downturn, but we're seeing activity, I think, pick up. Fund managers weren't doing so many deals. They were waiting for good quality deals at reasonable prices to come through into the market. They've been focusing on their portfolio. But I think now we're seeing that activity pick up as fund managers are telling me there's more quality deals out in the market as companies look to raise. So I think we will see that happen. I think on valuations, there's some room potentially for valuations to come down. I think our fund managers in the UK VC financial returns report from the British Business Bank, sort of that's what fund managers are expecting. They'll either be in line with next year or they could fall to some extent, I think, as these companies come back for more funding. But I think ultimately there are some very strong companies within those portfolios. And so therefore, if we are seeing a few more down rounds, I don't think that's necessarily a feature of the quality of the companies, but more a feature of the cycles that we have been through. I think that we'll probably see loss rates go up slightly. Loss rates have been at an all-time low, and so expect them to increase more in line with the market. But I think fundamentally there remains a vibrant ecosystem within the UK with a wealth of expertise around technology and life sciences. And that ecosystem's maturing with more repeat entrepreneurs being seriously successful. And these are all really positive indicators that we saw in the US as their ecosystem grew. There's new themes that are emerging as innovative companies are turning to solve the world's big challenges around climate and cybersecurity, for example. So on the whole, I think that 2024, we'll see activity across all of these areas. I think the venture market will continue to be cyclical, but I think the fundamental issues that the companies are looking to solve and the finance that is required to go into them will be there.
You make a good point, Christine. And of course, throughout 2023, we've heard how LPs are being increasingly selective. They're looking to consolidate their relationships. And then GPs are facing a competitive environment and must, you know, come up with more innovative ways of standing out. So with that in background, what, in your opinion, do VC firms need to do in order to appeal to LPs like British Patient Capital? Are there any particular things that you're prioritizing in this market? And You think there's a formula to this thing?
Yeah, again, and that's a really good question. And I think, is there a formula? I think what's really important for GPs to think about is about the product that they're providing to the LPs, and to do their homework and look what LPs are looking for over and above returns. All LPs want a good return, but there's generally some other areas that are really important to them. So to make sure that when you're doing your pitch, you're addressing the areas that are important to that particular LP. I think at BPC, our investment strategy and requirements are very transparent, all on our website. And our investment strategy here, we're sector agnostic, and we're looking to back that scale-up agenda. So we're investing predominantly at the growth stage, which we classify as Series B plus, but we do also do some early stage VCs as well. And we prioritize investment into commercially active funds that need to invest a substantial part of their money in the UK. So when we invest in a fund manager, we're looking for two times whatever we invest to be invested into the UK market. Our typical check size is 20 to 40 million range. So for example, if we were writing a 20 million check, we'd expect at least 40 million of that to be invested into UK companies. But we do accept that they will also have a wider European investment strategy, and particularly at that growth stage. Our core funds programme, it doesn't have a specific sector allocation, but we do invest in fund managers with specific themes. So as we look at the portfolio, as we've built it up, we have quite a few generalist investors and some specific sectors. But there are areas that we're particularly looking for now that we feel we've got room for in the portfolio. And these tend to be areas that the UK is typically strong at, such as life sciences, deep tech, financial services. And in life sciences, we've got a dedicated and specialist investment team. We have a portfolio we're continuing to invest in, and we re-up in those managers. And we provide patient capital, so we're supporting those growths, as you might expect. But each year we do look for new fund managers to add to that portfolio. And at the moment, when we're looking for a new portfolio to fill that sort of gap in the portfolio construction that we're looking for, we've got to focus on things like sustainability, like life sciences again, and deep tech. And we're also looking for investments that have some sort of diversity to our choice. So that could be diversity in their fund strategy, in that they're looking for more diverse founders, or within the organisation itself, so that the investment team has more diversity to it. Because BPC strongly believes in the value of diverse teams, and that diversity is a critical success factor in financial performance across the asset class. And to back that up, BPC has signed the Investing in Women Code, and we're encouraging fund managers to also sign up to support equity in the system. So as with all LPs as well, apart from our kind of specific areas of interest or things that would make us maybe prioritise, we want to see a coherent investment strategy with a cohesive investment team that can demonstrate they've got the skills to enact it. And a full track record is also key, including all the losses as well as the highs, and then we want to understand how deals are sourced, how value is added to generate those returns.
Fair enough. Thank you, Christine. I hope that VCs who are listening to this podcast have taken notes from this particular thing. Let's now take a step back and talk about what's happening in the fundraising market at the moment. Do you reckon there is a right approach to raising capital these days, and are there any particular trends that you have observed in recent months?
Yes, thank you, Shivani. I mean, fundraising is never easy, even in the easier times. Perhaps I think it's always a difficult process and challenging. And I think that one of the key things that the GPs can do is to make sure they're looking across the landscape to see any new capital that's coming into the system, and certainly to take advantage of this and to align themselves with the capital. I think probably my piece of advice would be to make sure that they are constantly speaking to LPs. So even when you've just raised a fund, you're still really looking to raise the next fund. So LPs like to have a long relationship often with GPs before they will invest. So I think making sure that you are recognizing that and laying the groundwork for further fundraising as you are deploying the fund that you're working through. I think an organisation like BPC will also look to see how we can support a fundraise, and we'll work to catalyse other investors within the funds that we're in and to cornerstone some fundraisers as well to try and assist that sort of difficult process of bringing in other investors for the fund managers that we choose to work with.
And just to follow up on my last question, what kind of advice would you like to give to GPs when it comes to building a value proposition that really can be compelling for LPs, you know, something that really aligns with your interests?
Yes, I think to align with BPC interests, we're looking for GPs that have a strategy to invest in UK innovative businesses. For those GPs to be having an innovative way of perhaps searching for those businesses, so you know, looking for in areas that perhaps other GPs don't do, so they're doing something a bit different and being able to generate value by doing that. The GPs will also have to have a strong track record and have the ability to tell their story very clearly to the LPs. I think we're looking for that investment in those high growth companies. And if the managers can explain to us how their thesis can make sure that that capital is going to support these innovative companies to be able to reach the potential that they can, then that's something that's very compelling to British Patient Capital and our mission.
Thank you very much, Christine. I think that's a perfect note to end this conversation on. I'm plenty of food for thought, and thank you to our listeners as well. I hope you have a great week, and we will be back with another exciting episode of Private Equity Talks very soon.